Praise the Lord.
Our theme today is declare the word. Declare the truth. Declare the truth. And my topic today is let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We look at the scripture, as Brother D said, Psalm 107 verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Praise the Lord. Let's look at Proverbs 12:21. Proverbs 12:21, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Let's look at this same scripture in Amplified. We have been Amplified. Proverbs 18:21. In Amplified. No, this is New King James. All right, you don't have it. I don't. No, that's not it. I don't have it here. My 18:21. Okay, thank you. Say, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they who indulge in it shall eat the fruit of it, for life, for death or life. So the thing about it is this. The topic says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. The question is, what are you saying? What are you saying? Sometimes, you know, we forget our environment. Sometimes we forget where we are and we say things that are not worthy of saying. Sometimes when we are bad, we're upset at somebody, we're upset at something, we spill things. I put here, it says, when we forget, we talk anyhow. And it's not where we say it or with whom we say it that matters. It is what we say. Because what we say, I tell people, I say, the way it is that if you speak the word, the angels of God take it and make it happen. If you speak what the devil wants, his demons and his cohorts will take it and make it happen. You might think it is not true. He says, when we say things that are negative, that is not of the word, we change our future. Let me tell you why I said this. There's a colleague of mine in church at my job that he said, even though, and he said it repeated, and it's even worse, sometimes we say things repeatedly too. And when will this thing start to happen? Sometimes we forget that this is what we said. You know, we don't tie the thing together. But there was a colleague of mine that said something. He says, you know, Chuka, I don't think I will ever make 6 figures. He just said it. And he said it, and I was right there. I said, no, I'm not saying this with this boy. Because that's what Psalm 1, verse 1 says. Let's read it real quick. Psalm 1, verse 1-3. 1-3. I don't want to amplify. Just give me New King James, please. Okay, it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of the sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. I decided, this is not my own portion, and I walked away. But what happened? The guy, because of what he said, it was more of a It just started to happen like this. It was so clear in my eyes. The guy quit his job, went somewhere else to work, quit the job over there, started to sell ice cream during the day. And at night, during the summer, in the winter, he didn't have a job. Then came back to IT again. And when I heard how much he makes, somebody was telling me, he's not even close to that 6 figures he's talking about. And this, a space of like 10 years. That's why it's so important what we say. Praise the Lord. That's why the topic is this: let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Praise the Lord. It's important. Now, we're talking about it today in the Sunday school class. Let's look at Proverbs 23:7. What are you thinking? It says, for as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not in it. It's not with you. So it's, as you think in your heart, so you are. If you think you're poor, you will be poor. My colleague thought in his heart that he will never make 6 figures. And it did happen for him. So the question is that we need to change what we are thinking about. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 10:5. Could you give me a New Living Translation, please? It says, casting down. Okay. So we destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We recapture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. New King James says, casting down all imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ, of God, knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. The question I will ask us is, we're talking about it, people are in the Sunday school class. The devil plants a thought, and sometimes we just spill it. But the question I want to ask you is what word do you have in your heart when the devil plants the thought? You know, I talked about this a little bit in the business ministry. And I used an example, I used one example with Brother Eddie. And I say, if the thought comes and says, do something, Brother Eddie. You know, the ideal thing is to use the word of God to say no. Praise the Lord. Because the thoughts will always come. It will always come. So far you are alive, it will always come. But how do you, I put it here. It says, the devil, he said, we need to checkmate our thoughts with the word. Because the thoughts will always come. The devil will always give us suggestions, but we need to counter it with the word. Praise the Lord. It's so very important that the word of God should dwell richly in you. Let's look at a scripture. Proverbs 4:23. Because when the word of God dwells richly in you, you will produce after that seed. You produce. Praise the Lord. Let's look at it. Proverbs 4:23. Say, guard your hearts above all else, for it determines the course of your life. You see, let me tell you something. You can decide not to be in the world. You can decide to always watch Nigerian movie, TV, go on Facebook, go on Instagram, go on all those technological things. But you produce exactly what you're feeding on. If you decide to be in the world, I'm not saying you shouldn't go on Instagram or Facebook. I'm not saying that. But you need to give its own place. The world has its place. So that's why we need to give the world its place. Praise the Lord. I wrote here, it says, the label on a can is not nearly as important as what is inside the can. You see, it's good you can call yourself a Christian, a leader. Me, I call myself a pastor, a brother. But what do I have in me? What do you have in you? Do you have the word of God in you? Let me give you an example. Somebody sent me a video of green tea. I won't tell you the name, the make, because this is publicized. People are watching it too. Somebody showed me, there's a video of green tea. It says green tea. But when you open the green tea, it's full of worms. So you are drinking green tea, but there's worms inside. The question is, if they open you up, would they find the word of God in you? Praise the Lord. Let's look at Matthew 12:33. In God's word translation. God's word. He said, make a tree good and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree rotten and its fruit will be rotten. A person can recognize a tree by its fruit. So if you plant pawpaw, I don't know what, if there's a seed, pawpaw seed. Pari papa. Eh? A pari papa. Okay. Papaya. You plant papaya seed. When you plant papaya seed, it's no mango that will come out. It's not mango. You plant papaya, papaya will come out. Or papa. So it's important that we always need to plant. Let me slow down. Because I have a lot to say. You see, the word of God is what we need at all times to develop our spirit man. You see, we eat to make ourselves grow when we're hungry. We eat to feed our human self. But we need the word of God at all times to survive spiritually, to survive with all the circumstances we're going through. Because I was talking to my wife yesterday. I said, you know, what keeps us as Christians is not us. Is God. But what keeps us as Christians is the word. Holding on to dwelling richly in the word. Knowing what the word says. You might not need that word now. You might not need it now, but you never know when you're going to tap into that reserve of the word. That's why it's so important for us to be in the word. The Bible says in Matthew 6:33, it says, seek first the kingdom of God above all else. But, you know, it's important. I can't stress it enough. Let's look at Luke 10:38 to 42. He says, now it happened as they went that, as it went. Go ahead. He said, now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with so much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me and is serving alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to Martha, 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 you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen the good part, which will not be taken away from her. You see, I was reading the scripture, and I was like, wow, you know, God now opened my eyes to something. He said, do you know the reason why Martha was cooking and all that? Let me tell you something. If there's a celebrity in your house, you want to cook. If Obama comes to your house, you want to cook. You want to cook and do all those things. But that's what Martha thought. Because Jesus, he felt Jesus was a celebrity. Jesus is a celebrity. I'm coming in. Let me cook. Let me feed his stomach. But Mary knew the right thing. Mary knew what it is. It's not about food. It's about the food that I would live that will never be taken away from me. Because I don't want to be vulgar, because the food that you eat will go away. You know what I mean? Sometimes it stays. But majority to go away. But the word of God is always there. It abides with you forever. You never know when you're going to need it. That's why God created his brain, that he can tap into it. 20 years from now, you remember one scripture and you use it and it works for you. Praise the Lord. So it's important. Let me tell you something I wrote here. It says, Martha was doing the right thing at the wrong time. She was doing the right thing at the wrong time. I remember this thing. I was preparing this. I remember Pastor Victor one time. Pastor Victor, I'll use you today. There was one time I was having a discussion with Pastor Victor. And I wasn't coming to men's meeting. And the reason wasn't that I wanted to not to come. But what happened was my dentist kept on scheduling, cleaning, or all those things on the day of the men's meeting. Every month. It's amazing. Sister Happiness. Every month it was Sister Happiness, not my dentist. My dentist. So I was just having a conversation with Pastor Victor. And Pastor Victor said something. He says, you're doing something that is right at the wrong time. What are we doing that is right at the wrong time? I'll leave that with you. Let's look at Matthew 13, 44 to 46. He says, and again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for the joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. You see, you look at this thing, that's what the word of God is. Let me tell you something. For me, for instance, when I became a Christian, I was talking to them in Sunday school. When I became a Christian, I said, I gotta leave all those things behind. My friends. Because I found something that is so precious to me. I didn't want anything to mess it up. I didn't want any friends, good time, pleasure, everything. I left it behind. Because what? I was pursuing this new life in Christ. Let me tell you something. Like I said, when I was preparing this, the Holy Spirit asked me a question. Diamond. Where do you find diamond? In the ground. Where do you find gold? In the ground. He says, weren't you the one that one day you were watching a documentary whereby people will do what? Quit their jobs. And they are going to go and look for diamond and gold. They quit their jobs because they believe that if I go and get this diamond or gold, they are not sure whether it's going to materialize. They're not sure. But they quit their job to do that. But the Bible says, the word of God has this efficacy. He says, he sold everything. I'm not saying you should go and sell your property. I'm not saying that. But you need to do what? He's saying that disregard those things that's going to make you not concentrate on the word. Put it aside. And do what? Focus on the word. Because it's the word that's what will build you up, which will elevate you. Praise the Lord. It's so important. And also with this word, I beg you, don't add or remove anything from the word. Because when you add or remove it, it becomes worthless, the word. The word of God becomes, I'll call it useless. All God wants us to do is to do what? To believe what the word says. Period. That's it. That's all he wants us to do. Let's look at two scriptures, please. Mark 11, 23 to 24. I like this scripture a lot. Mark 11, 23 to 24. It says, I tell you the truth. You can say to the mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen. And no doubt in your heart. It says, I tell you, you can pray for anything. And if you believe, then you have received and it will be yours. If you believe. You see, when you're praying with the word. You're praying with the word. If you believe the word. If you believe the word and you believe you have received it, it is yours. Don't add or remove anything. You know, it's easy. I've come to understand something with me. I don't want to say with us Christians, but with me. I'll start with me first. Is that, you know, we sing songs. When I was preparing, there's a song that I always remember. Only believe. Only believe, all things are possible. Only you believe. Oh, only believe. Only believe, all things are possible. Only believe. You see, the thing is, for you to sing that song, It means God is telling you, believe. Simply believe. Simply. That's it. You know, you tell, if I tell Zizi, he's right there. If I tell Zizi, I'm going to bring you candy. Do you know that Zizi will believe? Uncle Chuka is going to bring him candy. He's rest assured, Uncle Chuka is going to bring me candy. Till tomorrow, he's thinking, Uncle Chuka is going to bring me candy. And that's it. He's not thinking anything else. He's not thinking that, oh, are you sure that Uncle Chuka is going to give me candy? He's not thinking that way. Because what? He only believes what it is. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you something. If God tells you to forgive somebody, what do you want to happen? Would you start thinking, God, you don't understand them? You don't understand what they did to me? This is impossible. But God says, forgive. We start to go back and forth. I start to argue with God. Is it possible? Should I do it or shouldn't I do it? Let me give you an example. I was reading a book from Kenneth Hagin. Hagin. Because that's what they were correcting me in the business ministry. They say it's Hagin. It's Hagin. Okay? In the book, he was saying how this famous pastor came to his city and he asked the pastor to come and preach. He's a famous pastor. So while the man finished preaching and they were greeting people, God now laid it in the man's heart, in Pastor Hagin's heart, Hagin, and says, give this man $12.50. $12.50 was then the day of the Great Depression years. That was like 1929 to like 1939. There, about that 10-year spread. And he was a little reluctant. But God now told him, says, remember that Luke 6:38? Give and it shall be given to you. He says, that's clear. Give the man. You know, normally what would happen would have sized the man up and say, he's a famous pastor now. What am I going to give? I'm just saying one, let's just put a name. What am I going to give like T.G. Jakes money? I'm just giving you an example. He was a famous guy. But what he did was he went to God and said, sure, I'll give the man. I gave him $12.50. But what happened was, during the time he was going to give, God now opened his eyes and said, this guy that you're giving it to, even though you're thinking, he has no dime in his pocket. He has nothing. So he gave. And the man confirmed that he didn't have any money. The question is that, why I gave you that scripture, and why I'm saying this is that, the Bible says do not add or remove. Simply believe it. And as you believe it, it will work for you. It will work for you. You see, let me tell you something. You know, sometimes we read the Word of God. We're not supposed to read it only. We're supposed to study it. We're supposed to meditate in it. Let me give you an example. There's a youth over here. I won't say his name. I don't even think he's around here, sir. He's not around here. So there was a youth. While he was going through a transition period in his life, he was doing security, and I said to him, I said, look, when you have a break, use the opportunity to study the Word of God. You never know how God will transform your life. And you know what happened? He did exactly what I told him to do. A few weeks later, he called me. And I tell you what, give me Jeremiah 33:3. in Amplified. I tell you what happened. It says, call to me and I'll answer you. And I'll tell you and even show you great and mighty things. Things that which have been confined and hidden, which you do not know and understand and cannot distinguish. God said to reveal mysteries to this guy. God said to open this guy's eyes. In Psalm 119 verse 18 says, open my eyes to see wondrous things in your word. God said to open his eyes through the word. It's so amazing. I said, whoa, this is great. Because, you know, when God opens your eyes, you now know that you're holy. With the word of God, as God starts to open your eyes, you now know that you're righteous. Pastor has been talking about righteousness, the gift of righteousness. When you go into the world, God starts to open your eyes that you can come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy. When God starts to open your eyes, you know that you don't need to be calling some bozo in Nigeria to be giving him money when you can go in yourself. Praise the Lord. It's so important because this word has power for every situation. I said the solution to any human problem is found in the Bible. Any situation you're facing, you'll find it in the scripture. Let me give you the same scripture, the same website. I gave the business and the life center. See, let me tell you something. When you're looking for any, in the Bible has it, I call it the wealth of information. A wealth of information. Anything you're going through at any time, you go into the world, you find it, use it, and it works for you. Oh, you're nuts. Let me tell you something. If you're looking for finances, you find it in the world. Let me tell you something. If you go into this website, openbible.info, openbible.info, and in the tab, you go to Topical Bible, and when it comes up, there's a search menu. You're not writing this down because I'm telling you, this is will help you. Openbible.info, info, openbible.info, then you see a tab that says Topical Bible. You click on it. And it will open a search window. And in the search window, you can type in anything you want. Finances. You type it in there. You see a load of scriptures. And with there, for me, the way I do it is, I go through the scriptures and see which one my spirit latches onto. And I hold on to that scripture. Let me tell you something. We Christians, we don't understand the power that we have in the word. If you understand it, you'll be soaking it in day. You know, sometimes you might not have time. I was telling my wife, with David in the house, sometimes it's like, when do I even have time to even read the Bible? Awesome. I'm being real. I don't know. It's like, but you know what? God says to me, you know, you can find time. You can find time. Anytime there's a downtime, he sleeps, doesn't he? I say, yes, he sleeps for 1 hour or two. You can read the Bible then. You can read the Bible there. So there's no excuse in heaven or earth that you don't have to, you tell me, oh, I can't read the Bible. Why? Why can't you study the Bible? God has made this so easy with technology. There's our daily bread. You can download on your phone, and you can go through it. There's a lot of things out there. Let me tell you something. Like I told my friend, he's looking at me now. I told my friend, I said, it is your life. It is your life. This life is only, you live only once. You're not James Bond that is living it twice. Let me give you an example. Ah, 15 minutes. Let me give you an example. I heard of this Christian doctor. You see, people that know what the word does, they take it on and it works for them. I know this. I heard about this Christian doctor. She was a medical doctor. And she believed in the word so much that she says, I'm going to put a challenge to this word to see whether this word really works. So she said, let them bring anybody that has incurable disease. Let them come to her clinic. Anybody that has cancer, let them come to her clinic. And what she did was, she did that what Joshua 1:8 says, which I read for you. She read the scripture to the patients. She read the scripture to the patients day in, day out. Day in, day out. I'm telling you. And the result was mind-boggling. The result says 99% of the people that came lived because of the word. I'm telling you, because of the word. We called her the faith doctor. She believed the word so much that she says, I'm gonna put this word to test. To tell people that this word is powerful. Praise the Lord. It's so important. It's so important. Praise the Lord. We need this word at all times. Let me go. We know that the word is true, but I'm going to just teach you something about Galatians 3, 13 to 14. We know this word. We know the word is true, but I want to bring out one scripture. Galatians 3, 13 to 14. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree. 14. And the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. See, I read over here. Let's go back to 13 real quick. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. See, let me tell you something. What really triggered my attention here was curse. Curse. Let's go to, I'm going to explain something about this curse. Let's go to Deuteronomy 28. 1 to 2. We know the law. We know what the law is. It says the law simply showed us how sinful people were. But look at this. It says, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully keep all his commands that I'm giving you today, the Lord your God will set you on high above all nations of the world. You experience all these blessings if you obey the Lord your God. So the Bible is saying that, look, he put the law. It says if you obey the law, you get all the blessings from 3 to 14. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But now, if you broke one of the one of the laws, what happens? Let's look at Deuteronomy 28:15. Real quick. I want to just explain something to you, to us. So we know that it's an exciting thing. Deuteronomy 28:15 says, but if you refuse to listen to the Lord your God and do not obey all the commands and decrees I'm giving you today, all these curses, you see the curses again? That we saw in Galatians, correct? 3:13. We see it here? Okay, go back again. Go back, please. It says, all these curses will come and overwhelm you. And if you go down to 16, it will tell you all the curses till, I think it's till verse 68 or 670. Praise the Lord. I'm trying to tie this thing, please. So, what he's saying is this. If you look at, if you've ever read from 16 all the way to 70, you see there's a lot of curses. There's poverty curse. There's sickness curse, all kinds of sickness. There's diseases, all kinds of diseases. Let's swing back to Galatians, please. But the Bible says here, it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse. So this curse, what curse? Poverty curse, he has redeemed us from it. Sickness, he has redeemed us from it. Diseases, he has redeemed us for it. He has redeemed us from the curse of the law. So we are not cursed. And you know what happened? When Christ died, all those curses, all those sickness, everything that has been, was written in Deuteronomy 16 all the way to 70, was laid in the grave. And when he came up new, and we came up new with him. So if we came up with him, you see, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's what? A new creature. It says, old things. Let's look at it in Amplified, please. Amplified beautifies it very well. I read because of time. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that is grafted in, joined to him by faith in him as Savior, he is a new creature, reborn and renewed by the Holy Spirit. The old things, previous moral and spiritual conditions, have passed away. Behold, new things have come, because spiritual awakening brings new life. Praise the Lord. This is all what God has given us. We have a new life. But you know what? Some of us might say that, but God didn't take all the sickness and diseases. The one I'm feeling right now is not, it wasn't, God, Christ didn't take it. But let's look at some scripture. So we can see. Deuteronomy 28:61. It says, also, every sickness and every plague, which is not written in the book of the law. So any sickness, the curses, what he's saying is here, the curses also applies to anything that is not written in the book of the law, Jesus took. Oh, you don't get it. You don't get it. I'm saying here, he says, let me repeat it again. He says, also every sickness and every plague, which is not written in the book of the law, is talking about sickness, any sickness, poverty, whatever it is, that is not written in this book of the law, in Deuteronomy. Christ did what? Redeemed you from it. So if he redeemed you for it, so why don't you say so? You know, 1 John 3:8 says, The reason why Christ came. Okay, you have it. Wonderful. It says, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was made manifest. There's a scripture that says made manifest. That he might destroy the works of the devil. And you know Christ came already. And he destroyed the works of the devil. So what work are you allowing to be in your body? Praise the Lord. It's important. Even though I have 5 minutes, but I need to say this. We need to change what we're saying. We have the word. So when it pinch you, you need to know what spills out from your mouth. He says, if you deposit money in the bank, you'll be able to make withdrawals. If you deposit the word in your heart, you produce the word no matter what. Let's look at a scripture. Luke 6:45. It says, a good man produces good deeds from a good heart, and an evil man produces evil deeds from his hidden wickedness. Whatever is in the heart overflows into speech. It's so important. It's so important we know that, you know, we know about the tongue. We can read it. Because of time, you can read it about the tongue. James 3:3-12. You can read it at home. But we need to know that we need to be able to declare the truth. We reign. Bible pastor has been talking about, last Sunday, he talked about reigning. You have the authority. Do you know that we have the authority? We reign on this earth. So we can call things that are not as if they were. Praise the Lord. Let's look at Matthew. I want to close with this. Matthew 18:18. He said, assuredly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. Let me explain this with an example. I had a relative that called me from Nigeria. And when they called me from Nigeria, they live in Lagos. And their neighbor wanted to build a gas plant. And if you know what a gas plant is, basically they pump gas into this gas cylinder. And if any small leak, the whole house could catch fire. Somebody can die in the middle of the night. And because it's Nigeria, the guy had money. So he can bribe his way through. So this relative was really perplexed. I said, you know what? Instead of me dying right here, because I know how Nigeria is, he will bribe everybody, and before you know, they'll put the gas plant right there. So what happened? He or she went to start looking for a house in the mainland. So when he told me, I said, no, forget it. The Bible says, whatever you allow on earth will be allowed for you. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound for you. We don't allow this man to have the gas plant here, period. No, we're not negotiating it. It's not under negotiation, and that's it. The person said, yes, that's great. I said, let's pray. We prayed. 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. I called. He said, yeah, the guy is still. I said, don't worry. The Bible says what it says. We believe it, and that's the end of the story. 2 months later, the man and the people in the neighborhood decided to protest. The city of Lagos, they said they're not going to give him permits. Right now, he's not building anymore. Because somebody declared, says, no way, it's not going to happen. No matter whether it's in Nigeria that they can give bribe and bribe and bribe, what I say will stand. What are you allowing in your life? What have you allowed to linger? What have you allowed to stay in your body? What have you allowed to continue to dominate you? But I tell you right now, today, you're going to use your mouth and say, I'm not allowing it. Today, you're going to rise up. Not now, but today, you're going to rise up and say, no, this is not going to happen. Let me tell you something. I'm going to say this. Please, Pastor, can you give me 5 minutes? I'm going to say this. See, sometimes symptoms comes to your body. And you know, it will come to your body and you would, sometimes you just say, you know, such is life. Why is it life? You need to chase it out. You need to have the boldness to say, no, 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 no. I'm not allowing this sickness in my body. Because what? Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. You see, let me tell you something. I said here, if you believe that Christ redeemed you from sickness, any current disease, poverty, sin, whatever you have, has God told you anything about your situation? You need to thank God for it. Say, the word of God is intended to be in our heart and in our mouth. We keep it in view so we do not forget. So we don't forget when situation happens. We put it in view. Let me give you an example with this. I said the same thing in the house fellowship ministry. There was a time I couldn't sleep. I know my friend, CA, he knows his name. He's looking at me now. Chinedu. He knows, we talk about it with the aspect of sleep. That, yeah, I like sleep. But one time I couldn't sleep at all. At all. A week I couldn't. 3 days I couldn't. Pastor Emmanuel called me out here once. God talked to him. Holy Spirit inspired him. He said, you don't sleep. God has given you, he's giving you sweet sleep. Sleep. I thank God. I said, wonderful, great. But I couldn't still sleep. I know why. Don't get me wrong. He did what God told him to do. I know why. So on Sunday, Ogochiro might not remember this. On Sunday, we had a schedule here. Ogochiro, she was standing right there. I looked at the thing and I said, Ogo, who is Ogo? She said, stop playing, Uncle Chuka, it's me. To be honest with you, I wasn't playing. I didn't remember who Ogo was. Because I've been awake for 3 days. I've been awake for 3 days straight. So I said, no, forget this. This is not going to happen anymore. I got angry. And I remember that what God said to Pastor Manuel, through Pastor Manuel over here. So I went and I picked up scriptures. He said, let me tell you something. The word works so. But if you decide you don't want it to work, it won't work. It won't work. Let me tell you something. It works. It works. So I decided, I went to my job. I said, because I hadn't slept. I don't know. God is so merciful. I don't know how I drove 1 hour to my job, 1 hour back for 3 days. I have no idea how it happened. But what I did was I sat down. I told my boss, I said, I just got to do one thing. I went to that website that I just told you guys. I said, no sleep. The thing came up. He came up with all verses. I knew one that one verse, so I came up with all the verses. I took those verses. I put it in a Word document. Made it in a 5x10 card. Put one in my car. Put one in the other car. In both cars. Put one by my bedside. So each time I'm about to go to sleep, I read the scripture. And I say, thank you, Lord, it's done. I'm in the car. I say, thank you, because it's done. You know, I kept on saying this. Thank you, because this is done. We give you praise. I know I'm not sleeping now, but I know that I will sleep now. I will sleep now. That's all I was saying to myself. There's no point saying the obvious. Christians, why do we say the obvious? Why do we say the obvious? You can't sleep, so why you say you can't sleep? When you say you can't sleep, you won't sleep. So I said, no. I can't sleep. I said, God, I thank you, because as soon as I hit the pillow, I will sleep. I kept on saying it. The first day didn't happen, but I didn't care. I kept on saying it. The second day didn't happen. This is 3 days after I didn't sleep. He added 3 more days, almost 6 days I didn't sleep. This is funny to you. But I tell you, it's not funny. Because your mind, the Bible, God has created us to sleep. So that our body can adjust itself. Our brain can rejuvenate. That's why I couldn't remember God's name. I'm telling you. You might think it's funny, but I'm telling you, this is true. But what happened was, one day, I just laid on the bed. Right now, my wife knows. If you call me when I'm eating, after I finish eating, I'm back to normal. But God wanted to show me that there's power in the Word of God. There's power in the Word. The point is that we don't know that there's power in the world. So we take it trivial. It's okay. It's all right. Let me say anything that I want to say. We always say the obvious. When we're mad, oh, this person will kill me. Oh, he will kill you. We say things frivolously. Talk anyhow. But we don't know. It comes back to us. We start to reap the fruit. So I want us to rise. Before we rise. For this thing I taught, for it to really work for you, you need to be born again. You need to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Because if you don't receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it won't work for you. When he says Christ has redeemed you, you don't know what's going on. I want to just invite us, whoever, please just close your eyes. Whoever that hasn't received Jesus as his Lord and Savior, don't be afraid. Don't be scared. The devil can't do nothing to you. Just say, I receive him now. You can rise up, raise your hands up and say, I receive Jesus right now. If you want to also rededicate your life back to him, you can rise up again and say, God, I give. It's only you I want. It's time for you to forsake your friends. It's time for you to forsake everything and say, God, it's only you that I want in my life. Because it's only him. It's only him. It's all about him. It's all about him. I'm telling you. I want to give you opportunity. It's all about you, Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's all about him. Is nobody? All right, let us rise.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.